The Sabbath is a wonderful day that God has created. The Sabbath in my own life has changed quite a bit over the last many, many years. As a minister, it's one of my busiest days of the week, if not the busiest day of the week. Between sermons and counselings, visiting with church members, driving, various anointings and such, it tends to be a very busy day for me personally. When I worked outside the church's employment, the Sabbath was a great day off. And I would look forward to the Sabbath because I knew that that was the day that my email went off, my cell phones went off. I didn't have to worry about anything work-related. And that was a wonderful thing. After a long week, I would look forward to the Sabbath. And as a kid, and even as a young adult, and throughout some of my adult lifehood, the Sabbath observance was enjoyable to me, personally. I would take the rest command literally, especially as a kid. I would sleep in, I would sleep long, and I would be overly lazy throughout the day. At the end of the Sabbath, looking back, it had just ended up becoming just a simple day off work. But the Sabbath, as it would approach, and I would fall back into my easy chair, fall back on the couch and kick my legs up, I would find myself not doing much of anything at all. I have good memories of the Sabbath growing up as a kid. I grew up in the church. I was born back in the early 70s, and so I grew up in the church. My mom and dad came into the church back in the 60s, and my mom would always do something really nice for the Sabbath. It was always a special Sabbath treat when it came along each week in my family. My mom would cook up a really nice dinner. She would break out the nice tablecloths and the fine china and set the table up really nice and the crystal stemware and cloth napkins even. She really made up a really nice table, and it was always a really enjoyable dinner, even if it was just my two parents and myself. After dinner, we would oftentimes retire to the living room. My dad would pick up The Plain Truth or some church magazine or his Bible or something and read through it. My mom was amazing at the piano, and she would sit down at her piano and play through various classical pieces or maybe sometimes the hymns, things like that. It was a really enjoyable way to start the Sabbath that Friday night. For me, though, as a kid, it was lots of sleep. And the next day, we always had afternoon services. The next day, then, we were always one of the first ones to church. We rented a UAW hall, and it was huge. And we had to set up all the chairs and set everything up. And so there was a setup crew that came in. Services were about 350 people or so. And we would get there long time before church. And we would go through the process of setting up the hall, and we'd watch everybody come in. And then after services, then, we'd reverse the process and watch everybody trickle out. And my parents were usually one of the first ones in and one of the last ones out. And so the Sabbath day to me was very enjoyable. It gave me a wonderful opportunity to socialize with my friends. We had a good-sized teen group. At that time, we were 35 or 40 teens in my one congregation. Very fond memories. I never found the Sabbath burdensome. I really enjoyed it. I looked forward to it each and every day when it came around. Each week when it came around. What are some ways, though, that you observe the Sabbath? What are some ways that you observe the Sabbath? I have five ways that maybe you observe the Sabbath. Perhaps you can think of some others. Let's just walk through these quickly. Over in Exodus chapter 20, we read of the first way that you hopefully observe the Sabbath. And this is simply not to work. Point number one, you simply don't work. Exodus chapter 20, here in the middle of the Ten Commandments, we read in verse 9, part of this command that God gave to ancient Israel and for us today, this Sabbath command. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9, but 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. The word work here in the Hebrew means a type of occupation. It means to go about doing your business, some sort of workmanship, some sort of servile or industrious labor is what the word work here means. God's command here to do no work on the Sabbath requires that we perform all of that work in advance that might be required then for our Sabbath needs. Without this reminder, we tend to carry on with our ordinary thoughts, our ordinary actions, our daily activities that we commonly do, our chores. Those things would carry right through the Sabbath. And so what a great blessing that we have this command here in the Ten Commandments to simply don't do those things. The second way that maybe you observe the Sabbath is by resting. By resting. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. And in verse 2, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. The word work here is the same work that's used back in Exodus 20 that we just read, the same word. On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested. It's the Hebrew word here for Sabbath. He Sabbathed on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he Sabbathed from all his work, which God had created and made. He rested here on the Sabbath day. The word here in the Hebrew means to cease or desist, to rest, to put an end to the work that we read about back in Exodus chapter 20. As a young adult and even back in my childhood, this was a beautiful command. This was a beautiful example to me growing up in the church. Kick back, rest, sleep in, take naps. That was my Sabbath. I loved the rest command. No work and rest. What a beautiful pairing. This was the command from God to do not much of anything, and I loved it. If you're on Facebook, you can go back in your news feeds and see people over and over again, how they'll jump on at the start of the Sabbath and say, "Ah, oh, the Sabbath, it's finally here. After a long, hard week, ah, oh, it's finally here." The third way that maybe you observe the Sabbath is through fellowship. Fellowship. Number three, fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll follow me over there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 here speaks to the importance of fellowship. And it speaks to the importance of gathering together, not staying home unless we're physically not able to, or there's something, some health condition that we have. But bringing ourselves together and being able to have this fellowship. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." The Sabbath is not a day just to gather and chit chat about kind of the odds and ends of our week and the things that we have accomplished, but rather to be able to focus on verses like this here in Hebrews 10, to encourage each other, to exhort each other, to stir each other up, to encourage, to have that sort of positive fellowship together. This is a wonderful component of the Sabbath day, to be able to have these sort of conversations, edifying conversations. I know a few of us can't meet regularly due to health, and nearly in all those cases, one of the main comments that they give is how much they miss the fellowship. They miss the fellowship. And you might even think back to the Sabbaths that you've been sick. Now you go 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks without going to church, and you miss the fellowship. You miss being with the people. To fellowship means more than just talking. It's more than just idle chit-chat. It means that we're involved with and we're intertwined in each other's lives. It means that there's a close mutual relationship with each other. It's not just a one way. It's not what can you do for me or what can I do for you, but it's this combined type relationship. of waiting on each other's symbolic tables, voluntarily sharing our blessings and being there for each other. Again, encouraging and exhorting and stirring each other up, like Hebrews chapter 10 mentions here. Number four, maybe the fourth way that you observe the Sabbath is to go to church. To go to church. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. Here we see in this one chapter the seven annual holy days along with the one weekly holy day, all mentioned in this one chapter. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3, at the beginning of this listing of the holy days, God inspires Moses to write, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. The key phrase here is that it's a holy convocation. It's a gathering together. It's a calling together. It's a public worship service. Most commandments, it's interesting, most commandments you can do on your own. Don't covet after your neighbor's wife. That's something for you to do. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't kill. Don't have any idols. Those are very personal commands, things that you would do on your own. The Sabbath command, though, involves other people, doesn't it? It involves all of us gathering together, calling together, and having this holy convocation together. The Sabbath command actually requires us to congregate together with others. The word implies simply the product of an official summons to worship. Every Sabbath day, you can think of it that from the perspective that God is summoning you to come together and worship Him. It's an official summons to worship our Creator. This is God's official summons to come and worship Him on this Sabbath day. Part of our congregational responsibility is to praise God in song together, to pray together, to learn together what needs to be learned, and to fellowship together. This, brethren, is where you need to be each and every week, right here at services. The fifth way that maybe you observe the Sabbath is by serving or by helping. You can turn over to the book of Philippians if you'll follow me there. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 4. Paul writes, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I remember growing up as a kid, as I mentioned before, it was a huge congregation, 350-something people. And it was always kind of a core group of people that would show up to church and set everything up. And then they were usually the ones that were one of the last ones out as they broke down that final chair and wound up that final cord. Serving others in the congregation is a very critical part of observing the Sabbath. Someone has to set up the sound system. Someone has to set up the lectern. Someone has to set up the stage area and run the cords and set up the tables for the potluck. Someone has to do those things. Someone has to put out the booklets. There are physical needs involved in coming together, for having our congregation come together here. Are you involved? How involved are you? Or do you just kind of show up and breeze through the back door and sit down and simply show up? Are you thankful? If you're not physically able to help, are you thankful to those that do serve and help and provide the environment by which we can have services? Serving and helping is a wonderful component of the Sabbath. You can go and read later Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Here there was a very tremendous need in the congregation at the time, and the apostles dealt very specifically with that need. We should all be serving in some capacity. We should all be helping. We should all be giving as we are able physically. There's something all of us can do, though. So here's the main question for the sermon today. If we do these five things, are we properly keeping the Sabbath day? If we do those five things, if we don't work, if we rest, if we fellowship with others, if we show up at church, and if we help or serve in some way, if we do those five things, are we properly keeping the Sabbath day? Maybe all of this is too much. Maybe we're zoomed too far out. Maybe if we just boil it all down, maybe just simply going to church on Saturday is keeping the Sabbath. Maybe that's really all we have to do, is just show up someplace on the Saturday. Maybe that's what's most important. You know, there's a single religion of Sabbath keepers, whose God is worshipped in part through some ancient pagan holidays. There's roughly 16 million of those individuals that go to church on Saturday. Are they keeping the Sabbath simply by going to church on a specific day? I would say no, they are not. There's another religion who are former Israelites and others in Sabbath-keeping churches who observe the Sabbath but deny and refuse to obey the Son of God. There's some 15 million of those individuals. Are they keeping the Sabbath? Again, I would submit that they are not. What about other Sabbath keepers, maybe even attending the true Church of God, who are sown as tares by Christ's enemy? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 25 talks about that, how some are sown in. Are they keeping the Sabbath? Again, I would submit that they are not. It is common for those observing the Sabbath to assume that any link to the seventh day is a validation of their spirituality. If I go to church on the seventh day, therefore I'm doing everything else right. This, however, is simply not the case. Consequently, many Sabbath keepers are unknowingly Sabbath breakers. Yet they feel special because of when they go to church, deluded in thinking that the Sabbath day signifies and defines whose God elect really are. Brethren, simply going to church on Saturday is not an indicator that you're properly keeping the Sabbath. So what is it? What is it? How do we know that we're properly keeping the Sabbath day? Again, is it the five things we talked about in the introduction? We're not working, we're resting, we're fellowshipping, we're going to church, and we're serving or helping in some way. Is it those things? As long as we do those five things, are we properly keeping the Sabbath? The Ten Commandments, we know, can be found in two different places in the Bible, in a complete list. Deuteronomy 5 and also Exodus 20. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. Let's go back to the Sabbath command. We read part of it earlier. Let's read a different part of it now. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, God spoke all these words saying, "I'm the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." And then he begins to list these Ten Commandments. Jumping down to verse 8, we pick up number 4, the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. It begins, "Remember." Let's just stop there. Remember. Remember what? Remember who? Why remember? Why does the Sabbath command here start off with the word remember? The word remember here in the Hebrew means to be thought of, or to be kept in remembrance. To be thought of or to be kept in remembrance. Remember here is not one thing or one event. It's not remembering back 5 feasts ago when I was at that one particular site and I did that one particular activity. This is not this kind of remember. That kind of remember about that feast so many years ago is some memory that sometimes we recall. And that's not the same remember as the Hebrew word here mentioned in Hebrews or Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. This remember means to constantly have it in your mind. To have it constantly in your mind. If I were to ask you your name, you wouldn't have to say, now, wait a minute, that was 5 years ago that I was, had somebody ask me that. My name is, that's right. This is something constantly on your mind. You know your name. You know your age. You know where you were born. You know where you live. These are things, these are very, very simple examples, but these are very simple examples as far as things that are constantly on your mind. This is what the remember here in verse 8 is talking about. It's that kind of remember. It's something that's always on your mind. To remember implies something active, something ongoing. A couple years ago in the camp program, we had our theme that was based off of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, where part of that verse says, remember your creator. It's the same Hebrew word, remember your creator. It's not when you've forgotten your creator and it's some distant memory of going to church and it's some distant memory of this God that you used to worship when you were a kid. But it's this constant keeping him in your mind. It's that kind of remember, to be thought of, to be kept in remembrance. That's what this remember means. So let's continue here in verse 8. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The command here is to actively and ongoingly keep something. It's to keep something. The list of five things to do that we talked about at the beginning of the message, those are important things to do. Those are important things to do. Not to work. Very important. God commands us not to do those things. To fellowship, to congregate together. Those are important things to do. But it's interesting that the Sabbath command here is about keeping something. It's about keeping something. Through all of those five things that we talked about earlier, the Sabbath command is to keep this day holy. To keep this day holy. It's a 24-hour Sabbath, meaning it's a 24-hour job. It's a 24-hour responsibility to keep this day holy. What we do, what we say, the music we listen to, the things that we do in order to occupy our time, what we read, the things we watch, and so many more. Everything we are on this day, our responsibility is to keep this day holy, according to this command. That is how we keep the Sabbath. That is how we should be observing the Sabbath. Sure, the other five things have a part to play. But when we actually break down the Sabbath command, it's interesting to note that God wants us to keep it holy. He wants us to keep it holy. Just to reference the parallel verse over in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, observe the Sabbath to keep it holy. Again, there's that same phrase at keeping something. At keeping something. God wants us to keep this day holy. So what makes something holy? Our conversation should probably move in that direction. If we have to keep the Sabbath day holy, what makes this day holy? What makes something holy? Let's stay here in the book of Exodus, but let's go back to chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. One of many Old Testament stories that when I was a kid was just fascinating to me. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. And said, Moses, Moses. And he said, "Here I am." And he said to him, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." God's presence made that location holy. It wasn't the type of fuel that was being used to burn that bush. It wasn't the roots of the bush. It wasn't the root stock. It wasn't any of those things. It was God's presence here that made this ground holy, that made that location holy. It is only God or His direct presence in things that makes something holy. That's what makes something holy. The burning bush, the tabernacle, the utensils used there in the temple, the showbread, those things were holy only because God's presence was there. That's what made those things holy. When God's presence was removed, then those things were no longer holy. Of ourselves, you and I have no right or no authority to make something holy. No group or organization of men has the authority to make something holy. That's something for God to do. God is the only one that can make something holy. And again, it's done through His direct presence. Let's go over to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. God says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defy yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You therefore be holy, for I am holy." God expects us to be holy. He expects us to be sacred, especially on these days that He Himself denotes as holy. Out of all the billions of people who live on the planet, who live on the face of this planet, He's chosen you and me to be the example that this can be done. But you and I just can't decide that we're holy. Again, it takes God's involvement in our life to make something holy. Everything we do, especially on this Sabbath day, should be focused on keeping this day holy. Should be focused on keeping God a part of this day. So here's the challenge. Here's the challenge for me to you. For the balance of this Sabbath, and for all future Sabbaths, be conscious about the holiness of this day. Be conscious about that. Be conscious about the holiness of this day and yours and my responsibility to keep this day holy. Because that is the command that we read back in Exodus chapter 20. Our command, among other things, is to keep this day holy. Not to make it holy. God will do that. When sunset comes, God becomes part of this 24-hour period. And He will make the day holy. Your job and my job is to keep it holy. To keep it holy. So that's my challenge for you. For the balance of today and future Sabbaths, remember and be conscious about the holiness of this day. Talk about what you're studying. Not studying anything? It's a good time to start. We should be studying throughout the week. We should be able to come to services with scriptures that we've been reading that have been of interest to us the past week. Things that we're learning. Verses that pop out. Maybe something new popped out about a verse that you've been reading for decades. And all of a sudden, you see a new angle on it. Talk about the things that you're studying. Talk about the leadership. We're all leaders. Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45 can give you some things to discuss from a perspective of leadership. Talk about serving one another. How can I serve you? How can you serve one another? Let that be part of your topic, part of your discussions on the Sabbath day. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, will give some things to discuss there. Be careful, though, with your speech. Be careful with what you talk about. Be careful how excited you get about the job that you have, or this new thing that just happened, or this new gadget or gizmo you just bought this last week, and it finally showed up in the mail, and, oh, I can hardly stop thinking about it. Remember the command about the Sabbath. Remember that it is our command to keep the day holy. Save the gadget, the gizmo for tomorrow. Call me on Sunday and tell me all about it. So does our speech have to include Bible references? Hey, good to see you. Isaiah chapter 1. How was your week? Malachi 3. Does all of our speech have to include a Bible reference? No, it doesn't. Just remember that your speech must follow the command for today. Your speech today, your actions, the things you read, the things you watch, the things you allow in through your mind's eye, the things that you hear, the things that you allow your mind to focus on and to ponder, those things should all focus back to Exodus chapter 20, at keeping this day holy. Our speech should follow the fact that the Sabbath is holy and sacred. Sometimes to understand a particular concept, it's helpful to look at the opposite. What's the opposite of holy? The opposite of holy is profane, right? The word profane means to make something common. To make something common. That's what the word profane means. To profane something means that it's no longer special. It's no longer set apart. The word holy again means that God is part of it, or His presence is part of it. So if we profane something that God has established as holy, then we've made that thing common, and we've essentially taken God out of that thing. So if we profane the Sabbath day through what we watch, then we're watching something that doesn't keep that day holy. It's something that takes God out of that Sabbath day. And as such, then, we profane His Sabbath. Let's go back to Exodus again, just back a few chapters to chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Let's pick up in verse 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. God here is very serious about the keeping of His day holy. He was very serious. And to the Israelites here at this time, it meant a death penalty. If you profane the Sabbath day, it was death to you. God is very serious about the holiness of His day. 6 days out of the week, we can talk about gizmos and work and gadgets and how to make our grass greener and all of those things. But this day, this Sabbath day, this holy day, is to be spent thinking and meditating and talking about God. It should be spent keeping this day holy, keeping God involved in this day. The death penalty here in Old Testament Israel was the highest form of judgment. And God places that type of judgment on individuals who would profane His day. Something very serious. Let's go over to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. And in verse 26, Ezekiel 22, verse 26, "For priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them." When we enter the Sabbath, it's our responsibility to begin to distinguish between the holy and the unholy. Is this thing the right thing that I should watch on the Sabbath? Is this something I should read on the Sabbath? Is this a topic of conversation that I should have on the Sabbath? Or should I save those things for another day of the week? It's interesting here that the prophet Ezekiel, under God's inspiration, denotes this level of responsibility. We can't just slide into the Sabbath and expect others to carry the conversation and we just kind of drift along through the Sabbath. You and I have a very specific responsibility with the Sabbath. And Ezekiel talks about that here in verse 26. And that is to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, between what is just and unjust, between what is clean and unclean. The things godly versus the things common, the things that are ordinary, the things that we could do on other days. Should we vacuum our carpet? We can do that on another day. This is God's day. This is God's holy day. Should we go wash the car or do other things about the house? Let's begin to practice this exercise of distinguishing between the holy and the unholy. That's our responsibility on the Sabbath day, to distinguish those things so that we can properly keep it holy. God only asks us for 1/7 of our week, one day out of every week, to keep it holy. He doesn't say every other day, keep it holy, or every third day, keep it holy. It's one day out of the week to keep it holy, to keep Him involved, to let our lives be surrounded by things that are godly, to be with Him. That's what He wants from us on this Sabbath day. Let's go over to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is after Ezra and after Chronicles. Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah here is encouraging Israelites to do this thing that Ezekiel would later write about distinguishing. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 15. "In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine grapes and figs and all kinds of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions." Nehemiah gets very passionate here about these individuals working, about these individuals doing things on the Sabbath that they shouldn't do. Kind of harkens back to what Ezekiel would later write about distinguishing. Nehemiah essentially here is saying, you're not distinguishing. Don't bring those wine presses in. Don't bring those figs in on the Sabbath. Verse 16, "Men of Tyre dwelt there also." So other individuals, non-Israelites, were doing these things on the Sabbath as well. Verse 17, "I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day?" Were they going to the synagogue on that day? Most likely. But they were also doing these other things, weren't they? And they were failing to distinguish between the holy and the unholy. Verse 18, "Did not your fathers do this? And did not God bring all this disaster on us on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." Israel was doing things on the Sabbath that God was not happy with. And Nehemiah called them on the carpet and said, don't profane this holy day. Save that selling, save that buying, save those things for another day. And Nehemiah specifically tells them that they're profaning it. And he's trying to help them keep it holy. our carnal tendency will be that we forget to keep the Sabbath day holy. Instead, we'll tend to keep it in a common way, in an ordinary way, in a profane way, similar to the things that we do during the other 6 days of the week. But we're called to change. We're called to change that carnal nature, to change those tendencies, to think differently. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to begin to think differently, to think more like Him when keeping the Sabbath in common ways. We break its intent, and our observance then becomes a red flag to God. And it can hint to Him about maybe a level of disregard that we have for Him as we make justifications why He doesn't need to be a part of this conversation, or He doesn't need to be a part of this show. Let's be careful about keeping the Sabbath holy. Let's go back to Ezekiel again. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Beginning in verse 33, he's pleading here with Israel and discusses how he wants to restore them. And in verse 37, I'll make you pass on the rod. I'll bring you into the bond of the covenant. I'll purge the rebels from among you. Verse 37, those who transgress against me. Verse 39, as for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go serve every one of you his idols. And hereafter, if you will not obey me, but profane my holy name no more with your gifts and your idols. Ezekiel here is saying it's your gifts and your idols. He's putting the onus back on them. It's your conversations. It's your TV shows. It's your books. It's your conversations. It's your topics. And Ezekiel here says, do it no more. Do it no more, not on the Sabbath day. Are you doing your own thing and thinking, but I'm okay with it. I like having this conversation with this person on the Sabbath because I never get to see them throughout the rest of the week. We can make our justifications for why we can do certain things, but let's remember the command for this day. And this command is to keep it a certain way, to keep God involved in this day. There are many verses, we won't take the time to turn there, but there are many verses that talk about God being a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He wants this one day devoted toward Him. He wants us to keep this day focused on Him. And we can do that or not do that based on our own actions and based on our words. Brethren, God wants our attention. He wants our focus on this Sabbath day. Will you and I give it to Him? That's a choice that we make. That's a choice that we make throughout this holy day. In conclusion, let's go over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3, here Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The Sabbath today is a special holy day to the people of God. It is observed by the elect who were predestined to be saints before the foundation of the world. And it declares a special message to those individuals. Our command for this day is not to work, to rest, to fellowship, to go to church, to serve and to help others. But more than all of that, it is to keep this day holy. to not undo what God has done. Each Friday sunset, God makes that time holy. As the sunset line moves across the face of the earth, that time, that very split second, becomes holy for the next 24 hours. Until God then does the reverse at the end of the Sabbath. Let's not undo that holiness by our own personal actions and speech on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day that we must treat with reverence. We must treat it as holy time. And it doesn't just mean the time period that we're here in this building. It's the entire 24-hour period that's sacred. It's the whole 24 hours. It's the whole Sabbath that's holy to God. Brethren, let's do our part to keep and to maintain that holiness. Let's keep God's Sabbath holy.